The word of God given unto us today is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 17. Please turn to page 140 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 17. Allow me to read the words of God. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Amen. In France, there was a man known as the father of the poor and the modern saint. His name was Abbé Pierre. He was revered by the French people and was considered the most respected figure in various public opinion polls for a long time. Every year since 1988, a French newspaper and public opinion research institution would announce the top 50 respected individuals by the French people, and Abbé Pierre consistently ranked at the top, securing the first place 17 times. His not being the number one choice in these surveys would be considered newsworthy. Abbé Pierre passed away in January 2007 at the age of 94. Abbé Pierre was born in Lyon, France, in 1912 into a wealthy Catholic family involved in silk trade. He was the fifth child out of 8 siblings. At the age of 16, he entered a religious order, and at 19, he became a monk. When he turned 26, he was ordained as a priest and served in a cathedral. During World War II, he was conscripted and participated in the war, and at one point, he secretly joined the resistance organization fighting against the Nazis. After the war ended in 1945, he was elected as a member of parliament and served as a legislator until 1951. He devoted all his salary to helping the poor. In 1949, Abbé Pierre had inherited a large house from his parents in the suburbs of Paris. He decided to renovate the house and turn it into a free accommodation facility. During that time, a man in his 40s named Georges Leguay, who had been imprisoned for 20 years on charges of murder, came to Abbé Pierre, feeling that he had no more meaning to live and contemplating suicide. He came to Abbé for help. Abbé Pierre said to him, "I can't help you. I have nothing to give you. But since you have nothing to lose, you can help me help others." And so, the Emmaus movement, a self-supporting community for the homeless, was born. George became one of the founding members of the Emmaus movement. Although World War II had ended, Paris, as well as France as a whole, was filled with children who had lost their parents, people who had lost their families, those with nowhere to go, and those suffering from hunger. They had to rely on begging and tattered rags to survive. The Emmaus movement started with these people coming together, realizing that by combining their strengths and efforts, they could live independently without relying on others and even help others in need. Cart pushers and construction workers became the driving force behind the Emmaus movement, which started in Paris and gradually spread throughout France and to other countries. Today, there are over 500 communities in more than 50 countries around the world. The three core principles of the Emmaus community are to walk, to share, and to give. This means that they walk together, even with those who may seem insignificant, and share what they have gained, while awakening the awareness to give to those who are in greater need and more unfortunate than themselves. The time when Abbe Pierre's efforts to help the poor gained nationwide attention was the winter of 1954. That year, France experienced an unusually severe cold. On February 1st, as the freezing temperatures persisted, the voice of Abbe pleading for assistance followed through the radio, stirring the hearts of the nation. He appeared on a radio program and cried out, "My friends, come help. A woman froze to death tonight at 3 a.m. on the pavement of Sebastopol Boulevard, clutching the eviction notice which the day before had made her homeless. Each night, more than 2,000 people endure the cold, without food, without bread. To face this horror, emergency lodgings are not enough." Hear me out. Tonight, in every town in France, in every quarter of Paris, we must hang out placards under light in the dark at the door of places where there are blankets, bunks, soups, where one may read under the title Fraternal Aid Center. These simple words: if you suffer, whoever you are, enter, eat, sleep, recover hope, here you are loved. The forecast is for a month of harsh frost. Everyone can help those who are homeless. We need tonight and at least tomorrow 5,000 blankets, 300 big American tents, and 200 catalytic stove. Thanks to you, no man, no child will sleep on the asphalt or on the waterfronts of Paris tonight. The winter of 1954 marked a significant turning point for Abbe Pierre's mission for aiding the impoverished as it garnered nationwide attention. That year, France was gripped by an unprecedented cold spell. And as a result of this, contributions totaling 500 million francs, including a donation of 2 million francs from the renowned actor Charlie Chaplin, were received. It is difficult to fathom the magnitude of 125 billion francs, which amounts to approximately the amount today from 70 years ago in today's context. There is an anecdote from his childhood that relates to this. When he was around 7 or 8 years old, he secretly stole jam and got into trouble for it. Though one of his brothers was suspected, Abbe never admitted to being the culprit. Eventually, his guilt was revealed, and as a consequence, he was unable to attend a family party held at his cousin's house. Late at night, after the party had ended, the family returned home, exchanging joyful stories. His brother exclaimed, "It was fantastic. There were wonderful toys," boasting about the event. In response, Abbe Pierre sulkily retorted, "So what? I didn't get to go." With that, he turned his back in a huff and left the room. A little while later, his father brought him into his room and said, "I heard what you said to your brother earlier. Where did those terrible words come from you? Do you only think of yourself? Can't you be happy when you see others happy?" Reflecting on that moment later in life, Abbe Pierre recalled, Upon hearing those words, he felt as if my whole world crumbled in an instant, replaced by a new horizon. It was like being in a dark room when suddenly a strong gust of wind blew open the doors and revealing a new reality of love, kindness, and sharing. I discovered the truth that if you are happy, I am happy, and if you suffer, I suffer too. That was the moment when his previously obscured vision of life began to clear. Among the words he left behind, there are these. To live means to learn how to love. Give bread to the hungry, and let those with bread hunger for justice and love. A smile costs less than electricity, but it gives as much light. I remember that there was an Emmaus community in Geneva, Switzerland, where I lived. Sometimes we would bring unused items for home to donate, and we would also buy second-hand books for children. After he passed away, I recall seeing his picture alongside a sentence he had spoken, memorializing his death on the front page of the Emmaus newsletter. It said, "Instead of countless bouquets and wreaths at my grave, please place a list of the names of numerous families and children who have received the keys to homes from you." The original form of the Emmaus movement initiated by Father Abbé Pierre is today's passage. Jesus' body was laid in a tomb prepared by Joseph of Arimathea, a new tomb where no one had been buried before, just before sunset on Friday, right before the Sabbath began. And it was the third day. Many women had witnessed Jesus' crucifixion and his burial, and they had been watching from the time he was hung on the cross until he was laid in the tomb. Mary Magdalene and several other women, including Salome, went to the tomb early in the morning on the day of the Sabbath to anoint Jesus' body with spices and perfumes. But they did not find the body, but instead heard from the two men dressed in dazzling clothes who told them that Jesus had risen from the dead just as he had said. So the women went and told all the disciples and everyone who was with them what they had seen. According to the Gospel of John, Peter and John went to the tomb to verify the women's account. And just as the women had said, they found the tomb empty. Surely they would have returned and told the other disciples. Everyone would have been astonished and shouted for joy because what Jesus had said had come true. However, the situation was unfolding in a completely different direction. Lines 13 to 14. Now that the same day of two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. In the Korean Bible, it is not translated, but in the Greek Bible, today's passage begins with the phrase, "and behold." This phrase not only indicates the start of a new situation, but it also seems to serve as a warning to pay attention to how the disciples who had forgotten Jesus' words were acting foolishly. That day refers to the third day after Jesus was buried, the very day they heard from the women, including Mary Magdalene, that Jesus' body was not in the tomb. Yet despite this, two of the disciples were heading to Emmaus. However, the name Emmaus is mentioned only once in the passage. And it's difficult to determine its exact location. The passage states that Emmaus is about 25 miles or approximately 10 kilometers from Jerusalem. Most English Bibles state that the distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus is 7 miles or about 11 kilometers. However, in the Greek Bible, it is described as 60 stadia from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Since one stadion is 185 meters, 60 stadia is also about 11 kilometers. In the New Testament, they state that the distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus is about 60 stadia, while others record it as 160 stadia. Therefore, the distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus can be roughly estimated to be between 11 and 30 kilometers. Generally, Emmaus is believed to be located approximately 32 kilometers west of Jerusalem in a place called Amwas. The name Emmaus means warm spring, and Amwas is famous for its hot springs. During the early Christian era, pilgrims flocked to Amwas because the flowing hot springs were believed to have healing properties. Even today, pilgrims walk from Jerusalem to Amwas in a procession on the Thursday after Easter. Father Abbé-Pierre named the organization that helps people in difficult situations after the Second World War, Emmaus. He likely had in mind the comforting and encouraging fellowship around a warm table that Jesus shared when he entered a house in that village. On that day, there were two disciples among the people heading from Jerusalem to Emmaus. When Jesus sent out his disciples, there were not only the 12 disciples who followed him and learned from him, but there were also many others. In Acts chapter 1, it is mentioned that about 120 people were gathered, praying and devoting themselves to prayer, waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised. It was at that time when they were choosing a replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and taken his own life out of regret, that the qualifications for the chosen one were as follows. Acts 1, verses 21 to 22. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of those his resurrection. The qualification requirement for someone to be chosen as a new apostle was to have been with Jesus from the time of John's baptism until his ascension. In other words, the requirement was to have been with Jesus throughout his entire ministry, from the beginning when he began his public life to the end. Therefore, it is believed that most of the 120 men and women who gathered in the upper room to pray met this criterion. As the two disciples were walking to Emmaus, they were discussing all these things with each other. It was all the stories about Jesus that had happened in Jerusalem. These stories included when Jesus rose on a young donkey and entered Jerusalem, and people spread their cloaks on the road and waved palm branches, praising God with loud voices. It included the story of Jesus driving out the merchants from the temple and cleansing it, declaring it as a house of prayer. It also included a story of his suffering, crucifixion, and burial in the new tomb of Joseph Arimathea. And they would have shared the story of the women, Peter and John, finding the empty tomb where the body was Jesus was not found. However, it is likely that in their discussion of all these things, the stories about the Messiah from the Old Testament and Jesus' resurrection were excluded. They shared all the stories except the most important one, the resurrection. If they did not share the resurrection, then even if they had shared all the other stories, it would be as if they shared nothing at all. If they had shared no stories except for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, making it their hope, their faith would have become a guidepost for our faith as well. The fact that the two disciples did not share the resurrection of Jesus indicates that even at that time, the disciples of Jesus did not believe in his resurrection. However, while the two disciples were discussing among themselves about what had recently happened, there was someone who had come and walked with them directly. Verses 15 to 16. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus was walking alongside the two disciples, but they did not recognize him at all. The word discuss in this context carries the connotation of to discuss fervently. The two individuals were likely sharing everything about what had recently happened, sometimes raising their voices as they asserted what they had seen, heard, and thought to be true. Their conversation would have revolved entirely around Jesus Christ. However, unbeknownst to them, the main character of their conversation, Jesus Christ himself, was walking right beside him. Yet they remained unaware of this. It was at this moment that Jesus took the initiative to speak. Verse 17, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Jesus asked them what they were discussing, not because he was unaware of their conversation, but to say, you don't have to be disheartened while discussing these things, despite his words, they still had a sorrowful demeanor. In programs like Animal Farm or All Dogs Go to Heaven, sometimes when we see dogs confined to cages, unable to walk properly, enduring severe mistreatment for extended periods, or being abandoned multiple times by their owners, their eyes appear infinitely gloomy. Fear fills their gaze. Even when released into an open space, they tremble in a corner. The eyes of the two disciples heading to Emmaus were similar. Their eyes were filled with desolation, resignation, and sadness. The reason their eyes could only reflect such a sorrowful light was because their eyes were veiled. They lacked the eyes to see the Lord, and the eyes to perceive truth and life. Furthermore, within them, there was no word from the Lord that would enlighten their eyes. We're currently studying the book of 2 Kings in our Bible study. Specifically, chapters 5 to 7 recount the story of the northern kingdom of Israel and Aram, Syria. More accurately, it is the story of the prophet Elisha and the kingdom of Aram. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we encounter the story of Naaman, the commander of Aram's army, who was also a leper, being healed. And in chapter 6, we find the following account. In ancient times, war was often regarded as the most effective means to increase a nation's wealth. Consequently, wars were typically fought from spring to autumn with a break during the winter due to the cold. Moreover, since the primary objective of war was to acquire plunder, attacks were often launched without warning. At that time, Aram would employ this method to invade Israel. However, at some point, Aram's attacks ceased to be successful. This was because whenever Aram secretly attacked Israel, the Israelite army was already encamped and awaiting there. Such incidents occurred not just once or twice. As a result, the king of Aram called his officials and interrogated them angrily, saying, "How can such a thing happen if there is no informant among us who is in league with the king of Israel?" However, one official's response was unexpected. He said, "Your Majesty, that is not the case. In Israel, there is a prophet named Elisha who knows even the words spoken in your bedroom and reveals them all to the king of Israel." Upon hearing this, the king of Aram sent horses, chariots, and a large number of armed soldiers to surround the city of Dothan, where Elisha was reported to be. The next morning, Elisha's servant arose and went outside, only to find the Aramean army encircling the city. He hurried to Elisha and informed him of the situation, asking, "There is a disaster. What shall we do?" Here is how Elisha the prophet responded. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. At that time, the servant was not someone who couldn't see what was in front of him. He saw better than anyone else that the army of Aram was surrounding Dothan. However, even though he was a prophet, he couldn't see what he should have seen. It was because his spiritual eyes were veiled. On the other hand, the prophet Elisha said, "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them," because he saw what the servant couldn't see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is seeing the unseen and applying it to our lives. Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, at a time when we contemplate the suffering of the Lord and celebrate his resurrection. The faces of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus were filled with sad light. It was because their eyes were veiled and they couldn't see the resurrected Jesus. And they didn't have the words of the Lord who had said he would rise again on the third day. Jesus Christ came to this earth to remove the eternal satellite that exists within us and shed his blood on the cross for our redemption. Let us repent of the foolishness of thinking that we can live with light even without the presence of the Lord during the season of repentance. Perhaps right now you resemble the two disciples on their way to Emmaus in your life of faith. Do you consider living in this world as walking to Emmaus without any hope? Isn't your face filled with a sad light? Are you not disappointed or suffering because things are not going as planned and are taking a completely different direction? Does life seem chaotic, like tangled threads, leaving you confused about where to start and how to untangle them? If so, lift up your eyes and look at the Lord who is with us now. Embrace his words again and make him your purpose. Then our Lord, who loves us and is with us, will open our eyes and we will receive the grace of a glorious resurrection beyond suffering. I borrow the lyrics from a worship song for today's prayer. When the two disciples were filled with despair and fear on the road to Emmaus, when the two disciples were filled with despair and fear on the road to Emmaus, Lord Jesus, you appear to us, revealing the true hope. On the path of this world, where endless sorrow blocks our way, Lord Jesus, you appear to us, giving us a new hope to believe in. We believe in the new hope you have given us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.